Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Yeah, welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast. It was on Power Rankings, the only pro wrestling podcast you'd be watching right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson, available wherever podcasts are. Be sure to that subscription button.
Hold on a second.
What?
You need to change the title here. Shield Survivor Series match.
Oh my God, it says Survivor Series. Oh my God. Oh, we can change that before it ends though. TLC. What am I thinking? Oh crap. That might change everything. Crap. Don't do that. There we go. I'm just going to keep it as it is. Oh, man. We're just like, it's all going bad
right
now.
You're just skipping TLC entirely.
It's all going bad right now, ladies and gentlemen. What's that?
You're just skipping TLC entirely.
In my mind, I have to, it's such a big match. It's such a big match, and I'm surprised they're doing it for crap TLC pay-per-view. But, man, that's a huge, the Shield reuniting at TLC instead of Survivor Series?
Well, I'm sure they'll have a match at Survivor Series,
too. Yeah, I know, me too. I'm just, man, my mind is so set on, like, Survivor Series, because it's coming up, and TLC is, like, this crap pay-per-view, and the Shield are coming back. That's massive. What a huge Raw last night.
Yeah.
We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got, I don't know, a bunch of people watching right now.
40-something.
40-some-odd people watching right now. Our Raw recap. You guys can join in the fun, too.
47.
At, $5 a month on the Patreon. Every week we do 3 recaps live for our patrons, and they go up on the show. So, yeah. We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/... Going In Raw, I'm going to do that, Interdimension Tension, but the Going In Raw version of it.
Good idea.
I'm going to work on some more Going In Raw ideas.
Yeah.
I want some, like, cool-looking stuff. Like, you go to, I don't know, the mall or, like, Zoomies or whatever, and they got, like, some cool stuff. I want some cool-looking stuff for us, not lame stuff, man. I want some cool-looking stuff. Anyways, Larson.
All right.
Let's talk about... Oh, wait. You know what I want to do real quick?
What?
Because it's been a while since I've done this.
Ah.
And, like, yeah, I'm supposed to be doing this. We've got all sorts of amazing patrons out in the world. And I feel like I have not... Oh, here we go. I'm going to go ahead and read some of their names because that's what part of the... At the $1 and up mark, you get your name read out. If anybody out there hasn't had their shout out, let me know. Hit me up on the Twitter or send us a message on the Patreon. Either one will work. And I'll read your name out here. But, you know, these are all people who plunk down their money. I'm going to give them a shout out and then we'll talk about Raw. Link Campbell, Steak and Baked, Jason Hicks, Raul Cotto, Eerie Emily, Larson's Beard, Rudy Escobar, Ethan Eastwood, Johnny Sherman, Otto Gonzalez, Admir, Bobby Mincy, Brody Lehenbauer, Jason Balderson, Sergio Castaneda, Sam Lineker, Donovan Cartwright, Mark Clinton, Rodney Harper, Zachary Stolpa, Samuel Cruz, Jack Lopez, Mike Nahmias, OJs, Mark Nico, Bizkit Jones, Christopher Dragna, Daniel Bryan. Oh, that's cool. Daniel Bryan. Jack McJackson, GP Eternity, Paul Anna Lee Wilson, Ryan Robles, Richard Kuykendall, and Travis Fife. If you guys have not received your shout outs, let us know. We love shouting out the patrons. I think I skipped a couple of weeks. The whole travel week kind of got me flummoxed.
Yeah.
Anyways. Let's talk about Raw. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I don't know what the deal is, man. I don't know if things have been... Maybe... So, from what I understand, Vince is still fairly hands-on with both shows, with Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
Is it the kind of thing where some maybe he just, I'm getting bored of SmackDown, I'm going to go over to Raw, and that affects things... Or I'm going to focus more on one than the other. Because for a while there, SmackDown was firing on all cylinders. Yeah. And now Raw seems to be firing on a lot of cylinders.
Oh, I think it's just a cyclical thing where sometimes people are inspired and sometimes they're not.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know if...
Robbie, 1896, never got a shout out. Now he does. Oh, he said joking. Oh, come on.
Just because a show is not necessarily going right, I don't know if that's necessarily Vince's fault.
Yeah, no. Well, hey, you know what? Everything should be laid at his feet the end. However, I am curious to know. I'm not, you know, that's one theory of mine. I have no idea what the deal is.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to me that one show can be firing on all cylinders for a while. And now they seemingly, I mean, I know Hell in a Cell was a fantastic pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see what happens on Tuesday.
Yeah, I know.
You know, if they can get back in the swing of things.
Freshening up some of their stories or they just keep being redundant. Raw this week opened up with Miz TV and the return of the Mizzies.
That's right, yeah. When's the last time we saw the Mizzies? I feel like it wasn't that long ago.
That's a couple months ago.
Oh, okay.
So the Miz handed out some awards. He gave Curtis Axel the award for perseverance.
And all the people cheered him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he got some mic time.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that was nice.
Sheamus and Cesaro, Thebar. Won Best Supporting Actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were very happy to, you know, talk about beating down Roman Reigns. Still, I mean, there was not a lot of explanation there.
No.
Motivation.
No.
In terms of why they'd want to get in that
None,
fight.
Basically.
Yeah.
And then Miz gave himself a Mizzy for being the true
big dog.
Big dog.
Big dog.
Of Raw.
Yeah.
Of course, that upset Roman Reigns. He came out.
And did you notice when that happened, the crowd popped.
That's because that's really the Shield's theme.
All right, so that's what I'm thinking, too. So, like, rumors were abound, and they were addressing that. Rumors were abound.
Yeah.
Were abounding. Abounding? I don't
abound.
Know. Abound. That the Shield were going to be reuniting there in Indianapolis. And so I think the people were, waiting, because Roman now means Shield reunion.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that so weird that, like, on his own, he gets crapped on, but then as soon as you put them back together.
Put two really popular guys next to him, he gets cheered?
Well, not just, here's the thing. You put The Rock next to him, he still gets booed. You put Cena next to him, he still gets booed.
Nostalgia is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, but yeah, I know. People love The Shield, man. Mm-hmm. They love to see those guys. They all fit, and they all do fit really well.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are complaining on the Twitters, you know, oh, I did this too soon. And my thing is this. You don't have to think about it that much.
They like symmetry with The Shield. They debuted in Indianapolis. Yeah. They broke up in Indianapolis. They reunited officially in Indianapolis.
And sometimes, for the thing is, like, there are TV shows, movies, sequels, I guess, where fan service can do a disservice to storylines.
Yeah. Yeah.
With wrestling, you can't really go that wrong with fan service. You really can't.
Yeah, for the most part.
You know, it's kind of the one form of entertainment, I think, that you can get away with a fair amount of fan
service. Here's my only qualm, and it's minor, about this reunion is with Dean and Seth, they really did a good job of addressing their past.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't yet at least done that with Seth and Roman.
Yeah.
Who have had, you know, their own tumultuous history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting to see Roman just like be totally cool with Seth now.
Yeah.
Maybe he sees that Dean's cool with him. And since Dean and Roman, you know, have been buddies the whole time.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just taking Dean's word that Seth is cool now.
I think if it's something, I'll put it this way, because I agree with you for the most part. However, with the caveat of this, I do think that if that element can be explained away with, like, literally one sentence backstage that just didn't air.
Yeah.
It's all right. You can make that leap in logic.
Oh, I know.
It's not like just, like, 2 months ago, Seth was, like, you know, burning down Roman's house or something.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
And now it's like, oh, my God, why are they back there? That was ages ago. Like you said, Dean's always been on the good side. So I'm fine with that. I didn't really need that. But, you know, it couldn't have hurt them to throw that in there.
No.
You know.
Give us that a little bit.
Dean vouched for Seth.
Yeah, he's good.
So I'm good with that.
He's cool. He's not going to hit us with chairs this time.
I would like it. I would love it if he just, you know, kept it non-kayfabe or kept it non-kayfabe and said, are you kidding? I've been getting booed. I've been getting murdered out here. This is a no-brainer. I don't care what Seth did to me. He's freaking, I'm getting all the benefits of his popularity right now.
Yeah. So the Miz starts talking about the rumors of the Shield reuniting on Raw, and Roman just says, what rumors?
That was cool. Rumors? What rumors?
And then he drops the mic.
And then Dean Ambrose's music hits. And then they wait like a second, and then burn it down.
Yeah, there wasn't the
right. Yeah,
before the burn it down, just went straight to burn it down.
I kind of like just the burn it down.
No, I like the intro to a song.
Really?
Yeah, the double bass drum. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I could do without it because that's kind of you're getting kind of long there.
I understand for this
for that.
Yeah, I understand. But if they just ditch that part of the song, I'd be very disappointed.
I agree, and you know why?
Because his introduction, when he came out at WrestleMania 31, and would not have been the same.
That's exactly
without those
right.
double bass drums.
Although, God, could you imagine if all of a sudden we just heard a voice say "Burn it down"? I might have popped the same. Because you don't expect that to happen.
No, I know, but I don't have the affinity that I do of the double bass drums. I do to Burn It Down.
Yeah, the double bass drums are great.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. No, it's great. Oh man.
So, anyways, the Shield stands up there in unison, mm-hmm. top of the ramp. They walk down to the ring, surround it. They attack. Brawl ensues.
Mm-hmm.
Shield clears the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Miz is on the outside, and he's like, "Hey, it's cool. We need to say, you know, no big deal. Let's move on with our day."
Yeah.
Dean and Seth drop down the floor, corners the Miz. He goes in the ring. He eats Dirty Deeds, followed mm-hmm. by a triple team powerbomb.
Yeah.
We get the fist bump. The Shield is officially back.
Yeah.
They came out during this segment, each wearing their individual merch later on. New Shield merch.
That, I thought their second, like when they came out the second time for Braun, although I understand it motivated to keep that story, you know, to set up the match for TLC.
Well, they're the Hounds of Justice. They were seeing an injustice being perpetrated out
and
there with Braun, you know, continuing the attack on Matt Hardy after their match.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna crap on it. I'm fine with it. But it was that part was like, okay, there's fan service, and then there's like fan fiction,
mm-hmm.
and that crossed kind of.
What
a
if
line.
The shirts were actually decent looking?
It wouldn't have mattered. Dude, they're like brand new, fresh off the, you know, they're just like brand new.
They literally have
shirts.
The silk screener in the backstage
exactly,
making
yeah.
those shirts.
They're all like stiff and stuff.
Haven't been washed yet, yeah.
It's a little nerdy. It's the band that wears, it's Danzig wearing his own shirt with like some kitty litter. It's that picture, you know?
Yeah.
It's when you're wearing, and I know they all wear merch shirts, I get that. But I don't know. And the shirt's kind of cheesy.
Yeah, I think if the shirt weren't so cheesy, it would have been better.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think
you know what it reminds me of? That shirt that I got, that you got for me at WrestleMania, the Undertaker Reigns one?
Yeah, I know.
Looks like the same designer did it.
No, the same. I know it's the same illustrator. Like you did.
Yeah.
I think you're right about that. Although I think the Undertaker, it boggles my mind, you know, like the Undertaker Roman one. It's such a cool design.
Yeah, it's a fine design. That's what I want on a shirt. I don't like it on a shirt.
What do you want it on? Like a poster?
Yeah, if you want
a poster
or a comic book cover,
what are you,
fine.
Like a 15-year-old? You got a bunch of posters in your room?
No, I don't. You've been to my office. You know there's one poster hanging
back
up.
Here.
There's exactly one poster in my office right now. Oh, sorry, there's two.
It's been a while since I've been in your office, dude. Sorry, getting the kinks out of my neck. Anyways, it was fun. It was good. Next up, we had Jason Jordan versus Carl Anderson.
Carl Anderson got the jobber entrance.
Yeah, that was apropos.
And he took the pin, so last week was just a fluke.
Yeah, I was hoping for 2 weeks in a row, man.
Me too,
I was really hoping
Jason
2 weeks
Jordan
in a row.
Won with his pop-up neck breaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like neck breakers. I'm not sure it works with a pop-up. I'm not huge on the pop-up.
No, I think it looks good.
You think you like that?
Yeah
I'm not
What do you think about
it.
Eric Young's wheelbarrow pop-up neck breaker?
I like that.
Yeah.
Because anything Eric Young does is awesome.
Okay.
He's great. He talks like this. Let's see here. So, yeah, that was...
It was a decent enough match.
It was a decent enough match. I still think that Jason Jordan is like... They don't have it yet. They don't have it yet.
They need
yet
to find a
him.
Quality character for him.
Yeah.
And once they do that, I think it'll start coming together.
His gimmick should be Halloween Ninja. You know, they got those ninja outfits for Halloween. That. Like a really cheap ninja costume with like a plastic ninja sword. I don't think ninjas have swords. Something like that. I think it'd be good. Next up, we had Miz and Curtis Axel backstage.
Yeah, I think they were... The Miz was getting some ice on his neck. They were in the trainer's room. Kurt Angle comes in and he says, "We're going to see The Miz and T-Bar versus The Shield at TLC.
Is it just me or does The Miz, even looking at how much fun Seth and Dean seem to be having, Roman always has the like stoic looking for his car in the parking lot face. But they seem happy. Miz seems the happiest out of all these guys. His acting performances are so comedically wonderful
mm-hmm.
that I really think he's having the most fun.
I think so. I think you're right.
Because, I mean, you know, for one thing.
I think it's like being involved in good stories.
Well, no, I think you're right. I think that and having earned the spot where you're the focal point of the biggest angle in the company, you know, or you're the, you know, you're the antagonist for the biggest angle in the company, that's a big deal.
It is.
That's a really big deal. So it's not surprising, but also that's a big burden to bear if you haven't been around as long as he has.
Mm-hmm.
So he just seems really delighted by the whole thing.
He really does.
So yeah.
Next, Elias walks to the ring.
Did we mention that was where Kurt Angle confirmed the TLC match
is
happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he runs down the city of Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Well, maybe I won't sing for you." He says, yeah. "Just kidding. I like the sound of my own voice."
That made me laugh so hard.
That was good.
"I'm just kidding. I like the sound of my..." Because it's such a throwaway. He doesn't say it with like a shit-eating grin or anything like that. He says, "Just kidding. I like the sound of my own voice."
Yeah. He's good.
He's great. Are you kidding me? That's what I got to get. I got to get an Elias shirt. Anyways, as he's about to strum, he hears guitar sounds. I'm sorry, banjo sounds that are not coming from his guitar.
Yeah.
And he looks up and Titus O'Neil comes out with a banjo like an idiot with a mic on. And he's gonna do his own song for the good people there. And so he sings a song to Elias. Running down Elias Sampson, mm-hmm. and the crowd's eating up. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was.
I thought it was fantastic. And Elias still has his like mic kind of hot, and so like he'll say a couple little things kind of under his breath, but he's still saying them, so you kind of hear Elias like shooting back in his own kind of lame way, but knowingly lame. It was good.
It was good. And it set up a match between Elias and Apollo Crews.
Yeah, well, that brought out Apollo, who's cheering on Titus. He seems to be loving it. They do the worldwide thing. Sorry, the worldwide thing. But Elias ends up getting the win once again with a drift away. I feel like there needs to be a little bit back and forth here.
Agreed.
Title, like they've got Titus worldwide, and Titus has never been like the whole point of Apollo coming in, or the whole thing where Apollo originally joined Titus worldwide was Apollo joining, was Titus showing him that, hey, you can take a shortcut.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
I feel like they kind of need to do that with Elias.
I know.
Get under the heel's skin a little bit.
I agree.
Yeah.
I was actually fully expecting Apollo to win this match.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see where that goes. I like, because I really, look, you and I obviously are both big Titus Worldwide fans.
Yes.
And we're both big Elias fans. We want to see, you know, this feud continue and get a bit more creative. Although I love the banjo last night. That was great.
Yeah, it was.
Next up we had Enzo. He comes out and delivers another Enzo promo. Then Kurt Angle comes out.
Well, Enzo calls him out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He says, "I have this contract."
Talking about the clause thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About the no contact clause and all that stuff. And anybody touches them, they get fired.
Right.
And he asks, "What's the deal with Kalisto?" And Kurt Angle again says, "Well, that
if you read the fine print, you'd know that
it only applies to people under contract at the time. I signed Kalisto after I signed that. Therefore, Kalisto is exempt from those clauses."
Yeah.
And he has a match. He gets the Cruiserweight title match.
Yeah.
And Enzo says, "No, I don't want that to happen."
Mm-hmm.
And then Kurt says, "Okay, it won't happen at TLC. It'll happen tonight."
Right, exactly.
And then Enzo says, "Well, you're going to show me respect. At least you're going to make it the main event."
Yeah.
And Kurt Angle says, "Fine, whatever." He walks up the match, walks up the ramp, turns around, says,
Hold on a second. As he's walking up the ramp, Enzo was dancing to Kurt's music.
Yeah, I know.
That cracked me up.
It was pretty funny.
That was funny.
Kurt turns around and says, "Oh, yeah, it's going to be a lumberjack match, and all the other cruiserweights are going to be around the ring."
Yeah, Enzo goes crazy. He's livid about it, but too bad. Kurt Angle's got the last word.
Yep.
I always like that kind of stuff. Like, Enzo, they're in the ring together, and Enzo says, "I'll only do this if..." And then when Kurt Angle goes up the ramp, gets the last word in, and because Enzo doesn't have a chance to say, "No, I'm not going to do that," he's still stuck in that match.
Well, that was kind of the gist of their back and forth, too, was that Enzo admitting that he got hustled.
Yeah, right. By Kurt
Angle.
I like that bit. I like that bit. That was going to be our main event. That was set. Lumberjack match, cruiserweights, Enzo versus Kalisto.
That's
for the cruiserweight title.
3 straight weeks that the cruiserweights have closed the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know what the ratings are in. I don't know if the ratings are
in. I know last week there was a pretty huge drop for the third hour, but I think that's been an ongoing trend regardless of the cruiserweight presence.
Yeah, there were 2 weeks in a row when there were just oddball ratings things happening. Because, yeah, last week it was like the abnormally large drop in the third hour, and then the first week it was like, I don't know, something else weird happened where it was like the opposite of that. I forget what it was.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought it was cool, and I thought, you know, given the outcome of that, it was smart for them to put that on the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Next,
we had Braun Strowman versus Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy actually put forth a decent amount of offense in this match. And his offense culminated with a twist of fate, and Braun kicked out at like one half.
Man, Matt Hardy was he's old and he's taking a lot of punishment.
I know.
Like, that's not good.
But he still moves pretty well. Relatively.
I mean, I'll put it this way.
I'll say this. He was never the quickest.
No,
wrestler.
He wasn't.
He's always walked like he had stiff hips.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, as he's gotten older, they seem to be stiffer.
Sometimes it's like his knees can't bend.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But he would being like the pace of this match was really good.
Yeah, no, it was fine.
And that's what I mean. He still moves around pretty well for a guy who's taken that much of a beating throughout his career.
That's
mid-40s.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Is that dude? If I'm in my mid 40s and I've taken that amount of damage,
I don't even think I can move that well now.
Yeah. So I'm not talking crap. I'm just saying. I think my thing was this: Matt Hardy's old and he's taking on Braun Strowman. Like, one match against Braun is not like one match against Enzo, for example.
No, especially
you know
when he
I mean?
Took two choke slams.
Dude, I know. And those were nasty choke
especially
slams.
The second one.
And then a power slam?
Where he kind of deadlifted him and just threw him back down the mat. Yeah, and then Braun hits the power slam, wins. He starts to leave the ring, changes his mind, picks Matt up over his shoulder, starts walking up the ramp, where he's met by... Da-dun!
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 And they've got,
the
like,
shield.
Fresh... It's the Shield shirts on.
Yeah, fresh off the silkscreen press.
Yeah. So, you know, crowd again, this is where I'm like, you know what? Do we need this level? But like you said, they're the Hounds of Justice.
Injustice
this is kind of their thing.
Was happening.
Exactly.
They came out.
Did you see
stop Braun's rampage?
When Braun, like when they show the shield, they cut to Braun. He had already put down Matt Hardy. And you see Matt Hardy scurry away. Like
he
climbed
no.
down the ramp and he was like sort of scurrying away. I'm like, oh, poor Matt Hardy.
So they there's a brawl, Shield gets the upper hand, Roman spears him.
Yeah.
And they kick him on the ground.
Yeah.
Take him over to the announce table, triple powerbomb through the announce table.
Yeah, and they all seem very, very happy.
Yeah.
Then we're backstage, the Shield are walking away triumphantly backstage. I think Charlie comes up to them and says,
yeah, because Seth called her Charles.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, what's that all about? And, Seth seems very happy. He says, we're back. And at this interview also, I was like, they're really overdoing this Shield thing. Like, I think it's great. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm just saying a little cornball.
Yeah, I know.
That's what it is. You don't want your Shield. You've got to be careful. You don't want the Shield to be cornball.
I know. And it was getting very close to cornball territory.
It was like.
Especially when Seth said, you better believe that.
With a giant grin on his face.
I know. There's like zero intensity to
like,
it.
Like, why are you such a nerd?
Like, Roman at least tried to bring some intensity, saying that, you know, we're the guys that run this place.
Yeah. Man. It's like when Pink Floyd brought Roger Waters back. And, you know, it's probably like Dave Gilmour is super happy because, like, oh, this is going to be a lot of money. And Roger Waters doesn't care about that shit. He doesn't even want to be there, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyways. Next up, we had, Mickie James, man, decent promo.
Yeah.
She can talk on the mic comfortably.
Yeah.
Because, as they point out, she's super old. She's like three years younger than me.
I know.
And like years younger, like she's like, I think somebody's pointing out Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, Matt the Hardy Boys. Like, there's a ton of like, this storyline does kind of bug me a little
bit.
Oh,
it does.
You
it
know?
Bugs me too, yeah.
It's like, I'll put it this way. Whenever you get a younger guy versus an older guy in like the men's division, it's never about, oh, you're too... It's always like, I'm going to cut down this legend to size. You're over the hill. But it doesn't get into Minga. Similar to the way they book Bayley, and it's not like Alexa Bliss had a lot... I mean, I know she was in NXT for a while, but before she came to Maine, they hadn't really fully developed her character as a single star. She never held the women's title.
She
never really threatened for it. They're just developing her, and this was horribly evident with the Bayley thing. And as soon as she started saying, I've got this tribute to you, everybody started thinking the same thing. Oh, God, we've got Bayley, it's your life 2.0. That's exactly what everybody thought. And that's what I thought. Now, I was relatively entertained because Mickie James, she cuts a promo on Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss comes down and she introduces like this little video package that's like a tribute to Mickie James. But the gag is it's all silent film or
old timey.
It's old timey. Now, you know me.
It reminded me of that E3 video I made a few years back.
I am a huge fan of anything old-timey. I love undercranked footage where it looks like they're going in fast motion. I love the piano player music. I love the titles. I love the, talking like this, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this was like a mishmash of all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I was thoroughly tickled by it. It only lasted like a minute and a half. It was not very long at all. So I thought it was relatively funny because you put on player piano music and I'll laugh. That being said, the general gist of the storyline just isn't interesting at all.
No.
And when you have the same kind of thing in the men's division, it's, oh, I'm going to be a legend killer, not, oh, you're just old and, you know, you're saggy or crap like that. And they're doing this Alexa Bliss stuff where she's like a mean girl.
Yeah.
And it's like, they can do so much more. Like, she's got a wide range.
I know,
she can
I know.
Do other things.
No, I know. I agree.
And I don't know why they're not doing other, like, better things with that.
I don't know either.
So, I don't know. It's just kind of irritating.
So, anyways, Mickey James says, all right, Alexa, I can't hear you. Maybe my hearing's going bad, but I can't hear you. Why don't you get in the ring and say this stuff to me in the ring?
Yeah.
So, Alexa finally walks down the ring. She stops short of the ring, says no. Mickey comes out. They end up brawling back in the ring. Then Alexa leaves.
Yeah.
She flees. Next, we got another Asuka video package, and then they dissolved from that to Sasha and Bayley talking with Kurt Angle backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants to wrestle Asuka.
Yeah.
Shouldn't people be scared of her?
Okay, so I had the exact same Twitter conversation with somebody, and you can play that role, but I'm going to play them because he said, hold on, I kind of want to see this. I think it was on the Real Going In Raw. But he said, why should people be lining up to face Asuka when they know she's going to kill her? And I'm like, well, look, if it's me or you, I think it was it Mario Rocha that I had this conversation with? I don't know.
This is what I kind of feel like they should have played this.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of people lining up for an opportunity, Kurt Angle gathering everybody together saying, okay, we're going to have this match to determine who's going to face Asuka at TLC.
Yeah.
Have the faces be like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And at least one of the heels be like, Kurt, I'm good.
Yeah.
Don't need to do that. And then have that heel, have it be Emma, end up somehow winning that match.
Because my thing was, they're all supposed to be competitors.
No, yeah, I understand.
Everybody
that.
Wants to be the first one to try taking down Asuka. That I get. I mean, I like
No,
what
I understand
saying.
That too, yeah. But I'm just saying to add some intrigue
to
you know, Asuka is intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone needs to portray that.
You know how I was. So Emma and Bayley, another route you could have gone. I don't know if you just said this because I wasn't paying attention. You were talking about heels and faces, though. Another route you could have gone. So I know Emma and I'm pretty sure Alicia Fox and obviously Bayley have all fought Asuka.
Mm-hmm. Sasha hasn't.
Nia Jax wasn't on the show last night, was she?
No.
Okay.
But she has.
Sasha hasn't.
No. Dana Brooke has.
Dana Brooke has.
Sasha's the only one that hasn't.
Has Alexa?
Don't know.
I don't remember.
I want to say yes.
I want to say yes, too, but it was kind of before Alexa was like, you know, obviously before she was brought up. My point is this. The people who have experience with her might be the ones that should be like, yeah, I'm not sure I want a piece of this.
Yeah.
Like, you're not the same when you come out of that. So it looks like she did. And so the people who haven't yet. Oh, that was a video game.
Yeah.
The people who haven't yet should be the ones chomping at the bit because then they can prove their point or whatever. Oh, that's kind of cool.
This is from a house show or something.
That's neat.
I'm trying to see if they actually wrestle in NXT. I can't see.
So there's a couple other routes you could have taken with that, but I don't know. I just think that it is kind of funny though because like everybody that comes out, like everybody who came out that knew they were going to lose should have had win face. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
like it's the opposite, you know. It's like, oh, you're gonna get fed to Oscar.
Yeah.
I thought it was gonna be. Who'd you think going into that? Who'd you think was gonna?
I had heard for a while that Emma was gonna be Asuka's first opponent, and they were trying to make her look strong.
Mm-hmm.
So I was assuming it was gonna be Emma.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were gonna feed Bayley or Sasha to her right away.
Yeah, I figured. I actually thought it was gonna be Alicia Fox. Because it wouldn't surprise me if they were. But then she's kind of also on the weak side. You think they're gonna actually have. They're going to give Emma some offense? Or is the first match out going to be squash?
It's going to be pretty much a squash. It might last 3 minutes.
Yeah, it could be.
Nobody is ready for Asuka. Next, we had Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali take on Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher. We've talked about in the past how these cruiserweight tag matches on Raw usually are just kind of time fillers.
Mm-hmm.
And this really was.
Yeah.
I like everybody in this match. I especially really like Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali. Just, I don't know, things seemed a little off.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it didn't seem as smooth as usual. There wasn't really a story being told.
Yeah.
They tried to rope in everybody's story into this one match and just didn't really connect, I didn't feel like.
Yeah.
What did you think?
It was okay. I didn't really pay attention to the match.
But like, they didn't really do anything.
I did.
There wasn't like a really ton. I mean, there's a couple of spots that were, you know, like 205 live worthy spots.
Yeah.
But there was also like Jack Gallagher had Cedric Alexander at a headlock for a good long time.
I know, dude. I'll be honest with you. I tune out during these matches. When there's no purpose, when there's like, okay, so the main event, perfect example of a 205 live match on Raw. Perfect example. This match, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing.
There's no bearing on anything on the storylines being played out in 205 Live.
Really. That's the exact problem. I have been fans of using spots on Raw for the cruiserweights, but not like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing. I know that, granted, again, unless you're these days, like when they're really pushing the Enzo thing as like a main event thing on Raw, if it's not that, the meat of the stuff is happening on 205 Live.
Yeah.
So I know that this is just sort of window dressing for the show.
There's two things they could have done with this. Kendrick pinned Mustafa Ali after slice bread number two.
Yeah.
Until this match, Mustafa Ali has not been involved in this feud whatsoever.
Right, exactly.
And yet he's the guy taking the loss.
Yeah.
So it has no bearing on the story being told in 205 Live. Second of all, if you want to use this match as a showcase for 205 Live, then let these guys really go.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I know.
So it just felt like filler.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer because I like all these guys.
That's the problem, is that the 205 Live matches generally usually...
Well, the tag matches.
The tag matches usually just feel like exactly what you said. They feel like filler. So I don't know. I honestly, I would have totally forgot this match happened. I was just surprised. Like, oh, Kendrick picked up a win with a slice spread. That's good. Next up we had Kurt Angle and The Miz backstage. So The Miz was telling Kurt Angle, he says, hey, look, you know, people's words are supposed to mean stuff around here. So, I would like to...
Well, he said, Dean said that the Shield will take on 3 men, 4 men, 5 men, however many.
So I'd like to add 1 man to our team. And Kurt said, okay, oh boy, okay, that's fine. Who are you going to add? And Miz says, this man. And then frickin' Braun Strowman kicks a door open and comes steaming in and just starts breathing all over everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt Angle's like kind of stuck because he's like, oh, yeah, well, I agreed to it, so I guess it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I thought it was great. Braun.
I know.
Braun kicking through doors is the best thing ever.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Garbage.
Next, Finn Balor came out, dropped a promo.
Finn Balor. This is Balor Club. You're in Indianapolis, and you're with Finn Balor. Man of the hour. He's Finn Balor.
Yeah.
We were doing that in the car for like...
Well, then when we got to the airport on our travels, we were singing a whole song about Finn Balor, yeah. So he dropped the promo saying again, yes, Bray Wyatt, you know, he debuted Sister Abigail or what he thought last week, but Finn thinks he's a fraud, that he's full of BS.
He's full of doggy doo-doo.
So he's got no power.
And then he's got no power because he's not Finn Balor.
And then on the Titantron, Bray Wyatt shows up.
Hey, man.
And then after one really bad editing effect happens, he's Sister Abigail. With because Sister Abigail talks with his voice, plus his voice pitched up.
I like somebody on Twitter today said that. I like that Finn's Balor gimmick is that he just knows people in the production truck, essentially. Because again...
You mean Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, I'm sorry. Yeah, Bray Wyatt. Because, again, you know, he's got the voice modulator thing going. He's got, like, some cheesy thing. I don't know. I'll be honest. I actually thought he looked kind of cool.
Mm.
I thought he looked cool.
He's all right.
He had, like, a veil on. Like an old shaggy stocking on over his head.
Yeah.
You kind of see through it. So, I don't know. I thought he looked kind of cool. The voice modulation was cheesy as heck.
Yeah.
For the most part, I liked the dialogue in terms of what Sister Abigail was saying about Bray Wyatt, because it could be one potential explanation for why he loses all the time, you know? Like, she sees him in a different light
than he sees himself.
And yeah. I kind of like that aspect of it. But the voice thing kind of just...
Well, I mean, like, the crap editing effect they use to transition from, like, that swirl wipe. That was no good.
Swirl wipe. I forgot. I didn't even realize they did that. I think I looked away for a second, and I looked back, and I was like, oh, he's doing the thing now. Okay, I should pay attention. Because when Balor talks, like, okay. Balor's like walking fan service, you know?
But he's so cool.
I just hope this is going to... Look, dude, I'm fine with the Sister Abigail thing if he wins.
Yeah. But then later on, Finn gave an interview backstage, and he says, well, I don't know if this is real or not, but now I know what I need to do.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know.
Is he going to be extra Demon Balor now?
Super Demon Balor.
Is he actually going to wrestle differently as Demon now?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Is it going to be Grey Balor?
Could be.
Ooh, could be Grey Balor. I don't know, man.
Well, I guess in one sense, that's good. They have us on our toes. We don't know what's going to happen next.
And here's the thing. I'm not going to outright say, that was stupid.
No, it wasn't outright stupid, but there was parts of it that were really corny.
I agree. I like when they try something a little bit different. Yes. They're trying something different with Bray Wyatt. I like that. You cannot knock them for trying something different. Bray gives everything he has to things. Like, he has nothing but conviction. I think that's great. It's just like you said, for me personally, it was the voice modulation that was a tad corny. I didn't notice the swirl editing effect.
Well, I think
I'm glad I didn't.
I think the content of it was fine. The problems were in the presentation.
Yeah. And I'm not sure. I'm not even sure that like Finn Balor is the guy. I mean, I guess he is because there's the demon thing. But like we've already gone Finn, demon, man who made demon, which is Grey Balor apparently.
And now it's going to be demon who made the man who made the demon. Is that the next iteration?
Now I know what I need to do. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. Is he going to go back to his mythology books and find another demon?
Could be. Is he going to not have like belts hanging from his head?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know because Sister Abigail referenced that the promo they did of him way back when he debuted about the origins of his name, about how he looking through mythology books.
Yeah.
About,
didn't he do, when they had an NXT show in London, didn't he do a Jack the Ripper type? Mm-hmm. What if he does like Finn the Ripper type thing? That'd be kind of cool. That's like his ultimate.
Where's TLC at? It's in Minneapolis.
Well, he can still do an English thing.
I guess.
What is he, Irish?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's all over the map, dude. Next up we had, We had the Fatal 5-Way to determine who gets to be fed to Asuka.
Yeah.
Dana Brooke versus Sasha Banks versus Bayley versus Alicia Fox versus Emma. This is fun. It was decided, like, I guess, into the match. It was elimination because Michael Cole was like, oh, yeah.
Well, no, the promo graphic they had before the match said it was elimination. But I guess what I was reading that they changed the match three times during the show.
Oh, my gosh.
At first, it was supposed to be a triple threat. And then I think a six-woman match, and then they did a five-woman elimination match.
Did you notice, and I kind of referenced this before in terms of like everybody having win face, but they didn't. Do you know when Sasha came out, she looked extra bored. Oh. Like the look on her face looked extra checked out.
Hmm.
I mean, she still put on a fine performance. Yeah. But when I was looking at her face, I was like, man, she looks like she'd rather be anywhere but here. I don't know.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So anyways,
we quickly run down the order of eliminations. Mm-hmm. Bayley eliminated Dana Brooke with a Bayley to belly. Shortly after that, Alicia Fox eliminated Bayley.
Yeah.
Sasha hit a backstabber and a bank statement on Alicia Fox. She tapped out. And right after that, Emma rolled up Sasha.
Yeah.
Won the match. She will face Asuka at TLC.
I really don't want this to be a squash match because I know Emma could put on a really good match. I'll have to go back and look at her last match with Asuka.
Oh, in NXT.
NXT, yeah, because they had one. Let's see here. Then we had that Finn Balor interview.
Yeah.
Then we had a Kalisto interview where he was talking about Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero. It's today. Is it today? It's Eddie's 50th birthday?
It was Sunday, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So he was invoked. Did you think that he was going to win this because they changed it to the main event of Raw?
It made it more likely.
Yeah, I know. I agree with that.
And then we start talking about his inspirations that made it even more
a
likely.
A little more likely?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a swerve for Enzo to win. And in fact, it was actually like even taking the Lumberjacks out of it, which the Lumberjacks were great. This was a really fun match.
Mm-hmm.
This was from front to end. This was a really fun match. And the Lumberjacks, they were all story. They're all part of the story, you know? And that was great. And I love
the story, you know, the Cruiserweights in their entirety having their story with Enzo, but then there's the storylines going on between the individual cruiserweights.
Exactly.
As well,
and so we got to see that play out. Like some of them were sniping at each other during the match, just separate from the match.
Yeah.
Enzo started barking at them for a bit.
Yeah.
Saying, you guys are supposed to, you know, be engaged in the match a little bit.
Yeah. And then he smacked Mustafa Ali at one point.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. So that was really cool. I thought it was really cool. I thought they let Enzo, look, Enzo's not really getting better as a wrestler, but he is getting better as a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And so his performance with Kalisto, who had to kind of dumb down his wrestling a little bit for Enzo, I thought was really, really good.
Yeah.
It ended with Enzo did hit by the end
Well, let's talk about this fight before.
Yeah. There was that great...
There was a cruiserweight division brawl on the outside where they're all fighting each other. While that was happening, Enzo and Kalisto are up at the top rope. Kalisto superplexed Enzo into the cruiserweights on the floor.
One of my favorite things is when they know a big thing like that's about to happen and they're supposed to be fighting each other, but they're looking to see like what's going on. That's my favorite.
My favorite is when it's just one person out there that's supposed to catch somebody and they're supposed to act like they're dazed or something. But they're just obviously standing watching the person about to land on them so they can catch them.
Right.
That's my favorite.
And then, of course, I'm always really happy when I see everybody acting like they were injured in the fall, because if you see somebody that's just there like that, I'm like, oh, crap, he just broke his neck. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to make sure everybody okay, everybody's acting like they're hurt.
Sort of rolling around. Sort of movement.
Oh, God, it hurts. And just there's nobody just dead.
Yeah.
So that's good.
But after that, Enzo hits his finisher, Eat Defeat. I don't remember what he calls it. And he goes for the pin right near the ropes. Mustafa Ali pulls Enzo out of the ring. During the pinfall, and actually that pinfall shouldn't be counted because Enzo was under the ropes.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, this was false count everywhere. It was a lumberjack.
Oh, it was no lumberjack DQ? Match.
I'm pretty sure it was no DQ.
Okay. Yeah, that because mean no rope break then?
That would have meant no rope break.
Okay.
Because rope break would... Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was no rope break. No, wait a second. No,
Mustafa Ali pulled Enzo out.
I was thinking, at some point, did he get the rope?
Yeah. I thought he did too.
Was I thinking a different match?
Maybe it was a different match. I don't remember. That's the first thing I noticed. Is like, Enzo, you're under the ropes.
Maybe that was Hell in a Cell. I don't know. Anyways. So Mustafa Ali. And I love, number one, so it looks like we might be getting something from Mustafa Ali. I like that they're not really, they are in a way, treating the cruiserweights as one entity. But they also, like you said, they all have their individual things going. And Mustafa Ali, I like that he was the one that pulled off, because it means we're going to get a thing with Mustafa Ali. His profile rises because we're both big fans of him.
Mustafa Ali's fantastic.
And I love that he was just spitting at Enzo saying, you don't represent us. You're not part of us. I love that.
Yeah.
That was so great. And Enzo's like laying into him. They're both. And Enzo seems to be having the time of his life because he was super engaged too. So it's kind of ended up just being a win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
He gets back in. And they exit. He gets up on the top rope, and Kalisto's up there on the top turnbuckle. Kalisto's up there, and Kalisto ends up getting him in the position for a Salina del Sol. And I love how he sold it too. He had him up there like this, and he's like looking around, knowing that he can pull this off. And the crowd starts freaking out because they're about to see a top rope Salina del Sol.
Yeah,
he hits that. It looked awesome. 1, 2, 3. Kalisto is the new cruiserweight champion. You notice the first person in there to celebrate was Cedric Alexander, the guy who, like, you know, kind of the heir apparent to the to the title.
It was him and Mustafa Ali.
Yeah. I noticed it, like, as soon as they gave him the title, Cedric, like, hopped up almost on him and was celebrating with him. And then they all, like, did the Lex Luger thing where they put him up on his shoulder.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I'm not huge on Kalisto having the championship for too long. I think he's a charisma vacuum. But in terms of a moment in a vacuum, this was really, really good.
And, you know, considering they kind of storyline-wise...
No Neville to be found.
I know. Storyline-wise, kind of painting themselves in the corner where none of the other cruiserweights could challenge for the belt. Now it frees things up.
Yeah.
Now the belt could be defended on a regular basis.
Right,
and
exactly.
That's fine. That's great. Yeah. And maybe we'll get, you know, Kalisto, he had to kind of simplify his wrestling against Enzo, but he doesn't have to do that with pretty much anybody else.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't want it to go to business as usual. It'll be interesting if Enzo can still keep the profile of 205 Live high without that title. I thought the title was a great... I mean, there's a part of me that kind of wants... I think it was a really great moment. I wouldn't mind him... getting that title back on Enzo because
DLC or something like that.
I think there's a lot that you can still do with that.
Yeah.
There's a lot that you can still do with that. And I don't think Kalisto's the guy to have the title. It's just the charisma isn't there. He hasn't been built enough.
Imagine, say this, now that Kalisto has the title, and then Kurt can say, well, Enzo, this clause you have is...
Well, yeah, it's done now.
It's null and void now. Yeah. So Enzo maybe at TLC gets the belt back, and then now after that... he can take on additional challengers, including Mustafa Ali or Cedric Alexander.
Yeah.
That would be great. You want to answer some questions?
Yeah, I'll answer some questions.
All in all, though, a really fun episode of Raw.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Okay. Broken Jacob Omega power rank.
Pow, 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 pow.
Top three scenarios for the destruction of the Shield 2.0.
Oh, wow. You think they all just shake hands and part ways?
Maybe. WrestleMania 34, the build-up. Maybe the Shield gets involved because Brock is being a meanie,
mm-hmm.
being really rude.
It would be very disappointing if this
and so
doesn't...
And so the Shield doesn't necessarily help Roman win at WrestleMania, but they're involved in the build-up to it. So Roman wins at Mania. He's the Universal Champion afterwards. He's like, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I got it from here.
Yeah.
They just kind of go their separate ways.
You know where you have to go from there, though?
It's Shield Triple Threat.
Shield Triple Threat at SummerSlam. You have to do that.
Oh, that'd be
Shield
great.
Shield Triple Threat at SummerSlam.
It was 2 years in a row, I think, that I was like, man, this has to be the main event at Mania.
Yeah.
Shield Triple Threat. Shield Triple Threat. Threat,
dude. At SummerSlam, it'd be perfect. It'd be absolutely perfect. So I'd love to see that. They made great. In terms of power ranking,
amicable split, number one.
Two,
Dean turning heel on him.
That's number one. Yeah, Dean turning heel. I'd love a heel Dean.
Three.
Three.
They just get into like some issues with the music because they're like, hey, we're the Shield. This is our music.
Yeah,
everyone's
yeah.
like, no, this is my music. Yeah. The Shield says, it's our music, man.
Yeah. yeah.
Lawsuits.
Yeah.
Sure. Litigation.
Oh, yeah. Injunctions.
Cease and desist.
Yeah. How about this? Number four, I love this one. They do their old Shield entrance. Dean can't help him. You know, sometimes you're walking behind somebody, you just want to troll him a little bit.
Yeah.
And you kick the ankle into the other ankle.
Oh, and someone falls down the stairs.
Roman falls.
Ooh.
Looks like an idiot.
Ooh.
Right? That, I think, to be honest, that's number one for me.
Okay, that's
Dean
good.
Trolls Roman by...
And then he is
because he didn't
fringe.
Mean for it to be like that. It, like, Roman falls a ridiculous amount
yeah,
of times.
Yeah, if he wasn't wearing his vest, he might have broken a rib or something.
Exactly.
Trevor Powers, should the Shield come through the crowd in their old SWAT gear for TLC? No.
Not in SWAT gear, in their new pristine shirts. But
through the crowd, yes.
But definitely through the crowd. But you know, that'd kill, you can't do their Dean's music and Seth's music. You just play it all at the same time.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, get CFO dollar sign.
Now do this. Do a bar of Shield theme, yeah. a bar of Dean, a bar of Seth, and just loop that.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Can somebody put that together for us on
yes,
YouTube?
Yes, please. Jack Dolan, better pay-per-view, No Mercy or Hell in a Cell? It's Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell. What happened to No Mercy?
Oh, we were there.
Oh, we were there at No Mercy. God, my memory is crap.
That was Brock and Braun Strowman main event.
Oh, yeah.
Best match with the tag match.
We were there. It was L.A. Missed the first two matches.
Yeah. We were waiting in line for a hot dog.
Tag match is about, yeah, Hell in a Cell. Hell in a
debut
Cell.
Debut of... Gray Finn Balor.
Yeah, Finn Balor, right. This is my trying to remember stuff.
Okay.
Face.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
Tommy T, hey friendo. So I'm an indie wrestler from Ohio and I recently earned a shot at the NWA Midwest Championship. That's cool.
Holy crap.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Unfortunately I lost, but I was satisfied with the match nonetheless. So my question is, has there ever been a match that you wanted the loser of the match to win, but regardless of the outcome, you enjoyed the match anyway, and if so, what match was it? Sean Holver has a good response. Cena Styles at Royal Rumble this year. I really wanted AJ to win that match. Any of the times that AJ challenged Roman Reigns for the WWE title, their two matches were both really good.
Yeah.
And it'd have been cool if AJ had won.
Yeah. God, I don't know, man. I can't tell, like, off the... top of my head. I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too.
I can't off the top of my head, I can't think. Oh, well. I'm trying to think if either of the CM Punk Rock matches. No. I think I hated those matches and I hated them through and through. I was so pissed when CM Punk lost to The Rock.
Yeah, you were.
Boy, that bugged the crap out of me.
The Nightcrawler. Hey, guys. So I got to ask, why do you both always talk about Daniel Bryan like he hates the WWE is being held hostage? But when I listened to the Edge and Christian podcast, he sounded completely genuine in saying, while he misses wrestling, he 100% understands and respects why they won't let him. I mean, he could be genuine in saying that and still at times feel like he just doesn't want to be there.
Yeah. People are complex individuals.
They are.
You know, like he's not... You know, it's anybody can understand why they're not letting him wrestle.
I mean, he's under contract. I mean, legally, he can't do anything.
He's
else.
Never come off as bitter.
No.
But the bottom line is, you know, when the camera's rolling and you really don't want to be there, you're not going to be – like, nobody can fake it to that degree, mm-hmm. you know. He never doesn't – he doesn't ever not do his job.
Yeah.
Robert Haynes has a beef with us, apparently. He says, I don't want to be that guy. You're kind of being that guy by asking this question. He says, I totally called a possible heel turn by Sammy last week, and my question got overlooked. But it's all good. You guys are still awesome. And I was at Hell in a Cell. And in the end, it felt like I couldn't breathe. That sounds like I might have been cool. But anyways, you guys ever see something live that you were shocked to see even when you knew it was going to happen?
Well, if he hadn't added the last part is when Supreme got set on fire. I didn't know that was going to happen, though. But I was shocked to see it.
It was pretty shocking.
It was very shocking.
Oh, man. And on top of that, Mr. Haynes. I'm not sure Sammy did turn heel.
Yep.
If you called it, now I didn't see the thing, but if he called the Sammy pulling Kevin Owens out of danger's way, you get all the props in the world, and you might be a low-level WWE writer. I don't know. But good on you. If there is an alliance of sorts where Sammy does turn heel, all the props in the world to you. That being said, anything live that we knew was going to happen, but still shocked us or amazed us. I didn't see Seth coming out of WrestleMania 31, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's up there.
That's a very unique situation to be in because, yeah, we all knew that Shane was going to come off the top.
Yeah.
But it was still very shocking to see it happen again, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have. Yeah, seeing a guy lit on fire almost die, that was shocking.
That was shocking.
I didn't see that happening.
No, didn't see it happening. Crockpot champion, the uncanny Iron Fish. Hey, friendos. First question in a while. Has the heel-face dynamic of wrestling as a whole changed? Is there no such thing as a traditional heel and traditional face anymore? And if so, should they change things to either get back to it or adapt to the change? They need to adapt to the change because wrestling fans as a whole know a lot more about what's going on behind the scenes than they ever did.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, they need to adapt to the times. And I think the fact that they're bringing up dirt sheet news items and promos reflects their methods in terms of adapting
mm-hmm.
to the new reality of wrestling.
Yeah. It's a tough place to be in because your entire business had been built on that idea that it was real and these are characters that you don't really get exposed to that often beyond what you see on TV or live at live shows or whatever. And so given that social media is still a fairly new thing in the grand scheme of things, you know, they do need to adapt because that's not going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Brody Leyenbauer, do you think we're ever going to see a 3-on-3 tag match between New Day and the newly reunited Shield?
Probably not this go around for the Shield, but maybe later. Depends how long they keep them together, though.
You don't think that we could see that? What's the Shield going to do at Survivor Series?
I don't know. I don't know what the New Day is going to do at Survivor Series, so it's entirely possible.
If you want like the ultimate in fan service, that'd be great. It would be that for sure.
That would be great.
And if you want, boy, who would go over there?
It would have to be the Shield.
It would have to be the Shield.
It would have to be the Shield.
Yeah.
Hamza Hilal, Asuka versus Emma.
Emma.
Over or under 5 minutes?
I would just say 7 minutes. I'm going to say over.
I'm going to take the under.
Really?
Bell to bell, under.
What do you think it's going to be?
3.5.
Wow. Jesus, you might be right on that. Also, she's coming off injury. They're not going to want her to extend too long. But 7 minutes isn't too much to ask. 7 minutes is not that long.
It's not.
You're talking about a squash match.
Yeah, I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Ooh. Wubba Lubba Bullet Club says, what do you guys think about Roman's comments on not needing wrestlers who rip off DX and NWO? Watch our daily show today. It's up, and it's got a great thumbnail made by me.
You're very proud of that.
I am. You know, I don't really boost my own stuff that much, but I'm really happy with this thumbnail.
Do you want to do Kayfabe Corner now?
Oh, yeah, let's do Kayfabe Corner. It is the ultimate.
The greatest pro wrestling trivia challenge there is. 12 names.
Yeah.
Some real, some fake. Yeah. 2 trivia questions.
Hold on, I gotta email them to myself. Ask one more.
Oh, okay.
One more question.
Charvel finds it funny, Myers. So Kalisto winning was a surprise, and yet no one really cares because it's probably an excuse to get the belt back on Neville or Cedric Alexander. Power rank the most obvious transitional or less cared about champions. Thanks, friendos. Keep up the good work. Transitional champions.
Oh, gosh.
Most obvious. Triple H.
Bob Backlund.
Triple H.
When?
When he won it at the Royal Rumble, only for Roman to take it off him at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I can see that.
Sure, the transition was for Roman to Triple H back to Roman.
See, a true, I mean, the first one I'm thinking is Alberto Del Rio when he took it off of.
He cashed in on Punk?
Yeah.
And then Punk got it back?
Yeah. Did Cena get it back or did Punk get it? Yeah, I guess Punk got it back. So it's not really, I mean, that's not
they
really
they won it back in Survivor Series.
Trying to think. Randy Orton, when he cashed in on Daniel Bryan and joined the Authority. I mean, there's sort of a line between transitional and, like, story, you know, like, necessary pieces to a storyline.
Bob Backlund.
Yeah, I was going to say Bob Backlund.
Bob Backlund.
Because he dropped it in, like, what, 8 seconds?
Yeah, taking off Brett and then losing it to Diesel.
To get it to Diesel.
Yeah, Backlund's probably, like, the...
I always like the idea. I forget who I stole this from or who I got it from, but the idea that Bret Hart was like the ultimate transition champion. Like the greatest transitional champion ever. Because he somehow parlayed transitional champion into like actual champion. All right, here we go. You ready for Kayfabe Corner?
Sure.
All right. We have 12 names. Some are real, some are fake.
It was Enzo and Kalisto were the choices, right?
So, yeah, the $10 Patreon mark, you can vote for Kayfabe Corner. We put up two names this week. I put up Enzo and Kalisto and Enzo won. So here you go. These are all names based off of Enzo Amore somehow, some way. Number one.
One.
Corey Weston.
Real.
Real. Baraka Beast.
Real.
Fake. Jill Anderson.
Real.
Fake. Spanish Stallion.
Real.
Fake. Barry Griffiths.
Real.
Real. Jim Wyckoff.
Can you spell the last name, please?
W-I-C-K-O-F-F.
Fake.
Fake. Very good. Stan Spears.
Real.
Fake. It's actually because... Ty Dillinger did Stan once.
And he was Gavin Spears.
His real name is Gavin Spears. So yeah. But he never used Stan Spears. Mm. Eric Anthony.
Real.
Real. SmackDown Warrior.
I feel like that would have to be fake. Fake.
Real. Apparently Mason Ryan used that once at some point.
That's weird.
I know, right? Super Raul.
Real.
That's fake as hell. I love that name, too.
It's a good name.
Super Raul. Fight Man.
Fake.
Fake.
Five.
Colin McKay.
Real.
Very good. Did I even do 12? Is this even 12? 1, 2,
I don't
three,
know. I got
four,
six.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, 12. Two trivia questions.
Okay. So I got six. I don't know when that happened.
Good job. Number one, what subject does Enzo Amore have a college degree in?
Communication.
I'm the realist journalism major in the room. Journalism.
Okay.
In his pre-WWE years, what chain restaurant did Enzo work as a manager for?
White Castle.
Hooters.
Oh, that's why he has a Hooters tattoo then.
Oh, I didn't notice that he did.
Yeah, he has a Hooters tattoo.
That's hilarious. That's great.
Six.
Very good. Six is definitely... A number.
It's pretty much the definition of a mediocre round.
Exactly.
Right in the middle.
Patrons, stay tuned. We're going to keep up the show going with our post show. For the rest of you, thank you very much. Tune in tomorrow. We got our SmackDown recap coming up. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.